Mr. Adams? Mr. Adams?
May it please the court, Your Honor.
Ready?
My name is Langston Adams, and I represent Derek Newman, who's the plaintiff as well as the appellant in this case. I want to apologize up front. I have never done oral arguments in my life before the Fifth Circuit. This is my first time. So any mistakes that I make, please.
Don't worry about it. As long as you keep your voice up to where we can hear you, and if you feel foggy, just grip that podium so it keeps you upright. Otherwise, the time is going to go. You're good. Go for it.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, basically, this is a case involving excessive force as it relates to my client, Derek Newman. In August of 2007, my client was riding as a passenger in a vehicle driven by an individual by the name of Willie Cole. Members of the Beaumont Police Department, without justification, it's our position that they trumped up a traffic offense, stopped this vehicle. And when they stopped this vehicle, Derek Newman complied with all requests, and all of this is on video, Your Honor. Everything that I'm talking about is a video of this, and it was highly publicized in the Beaumont, Jefferson County area. When he was pulled over, Officer Guidry, who's one of the defendants in this case, pushed him against the police car. Officer Burke came onto the scene and began to hit him with a baton 13 times without any justification whatsoever. Derek Newman goes to jail in August of 2007 on the charge, state charge, of resisting arrest. They take him to jail for resisting arrest, resisting transport. Now, as I understand, and I'm trying to get to specifically why we're here today, in this particular case, Judge Clark dismissed in response to the city's motion, 12B motion, on statute of limitations ground to dismiss the claim based upon statute of limitations. We asked for oral arguments as it relates to what we did from the time that the lawsuit was filed to as we are today. Your Honor, when Derek...
Let's kind of focus in on the actual lawsuit that has been dismissed.
Yes, Your Honor.
What is that claim against these people, the defendants that were dismissed? What is that?
The claim against Frank Coffin, Your Honor, and the claim against the city manager, Kyle Hayes, is a claim relating to the policies of the Beaumont Police Department. And that policy is a policy that we just discovered in the case, the criminal case.
Okay, that policy, and what is the harm that you're claiming? You're not suing for an injunction or anything like that. You're suing for what? What do you want?
The harm as a result.
You're saying it was an illegal arrest, or what are you saying?
Your Honor, basically what I'm saying is this. The specific harm to my client was this. The city of Beaumont has what it's called these Comstat meetings, and at the Comstat meetings it designates.
I know that, but I'm trying to help you get to bottom line. What is your, as a result of that, what are you saying? You were unlawfully arrested, you were assaulted? What are you saying happened to you that is your harm?
I guess the best way to respond, Your Honor, but for the city of Beaumont's unconstitutional policy, zero tolerance of targeting African Americans who predominantly live in the South Park area and subjecting them to unreasonable searches and seizures without reasonable suspicion or justification.
You're saying it led to their unlawful search and seizure or beating up or the damages that came from the,
correct. Right. But for this unconstitutional policy, Derek Newman would not have been arrested, detained, beaten, and subjected to the humiliation that he was subjected to that made all kind of news headlines. And as it relates to the statute of limitations, Your Honor, I want to put everything into perspective. He's arrested in August of 2007. right? He gets arrested. Once he gets arrested, the state charges are now filed against him. With those state charges were later dismissed because they were unfounded. Once the state charges is dismissed, he goes through the city of Beaumont and he requests a grievance be filed upon Officer Todd Burke, was the guy who hit him 13 times with the baton. The chief of police of the city of Beaumont agreed with Derek Newman, suspended Todd Burke for 2 days, right? They go to arbitration, and the arbitration reverses the suspension. This is sometime in April of 2008, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not even Derek Newman's lawyer until March of 2008. He had, at the time of his arrest, the criminal defense lawyer was Terrence Holmes, who's now a city judge in Beaumont. So he has a criminal lawyer on the case. I have nothing to do with it until March of 2008. When I get the case in November of 2008, we filed the lawsuit, and we get everybody served. Now, when I look...
Let me understand. When you were retained in March of 2008, it was for what purpose?
Civil. Terrence Holmes was the lawyer who represented him on his criminal matter, which is the original arrest. He's arrested in August of 2007.
And you were retained to bring a civil action against the officers who were...
The officers involved. That is correct.
Who were employees of the city of Beaumont.
Who were employees of the city of Beaumont. Now, I can anticipate, Judge, where you're going with that question. Well, if you look specifically at Texas law, and I have it for you, Your Honor, in Texas, under Texas law, the Texas Torts Claims Act, the city is immune from liability for its officers' intentional torts. So at this particular time, under Texas law, they're going to take the position, hey, we're immune. You can't do anything to us because this is an intentional tort of the officer. Also, the city, the chief of police, and its prosecutors who are here right now are before the administrative judge trying to uphold Burke's suspension. So theoretically, they are on Derek Newman's side at this particular point. The city and myself are on the same side. So here's what happens, Your Honor. We file a lawsuit in November of 2008. That's November of 2008, and that's clear in the record, right? We get service on the defendants, the five defendants. They don't file an answer to our lawsuit, and we take a default judgment against them in June of 2009. Counsel, who's at the table here today, he's the attorney who filed the motion to set aside our default judgment. Your Honor, I ask that the court take judicial notice of the default judgment as well as take judicial notice of the order setting aside the default judgment.
Slow down, back up a step. Okay, as you were being directed into the lawsuit filed here.
Yes, Your Honor.
As Judge Graves says, you were retained to file the civil lawsuit, which is the 1983 action, correct?
No, Your Honor, not at this particular time.
What civil claim did?
Yeah, we brought the civil claim under Texas law for the intentional torts of assault, battery, intentional infliction of emotional distress, false imprisonment, et cetera, in state court against those five officers. You want permission
all
to
right.
approach?
Now just hold up. Just stay where you are for the moment. All right, that lawsuit was percolating in state court, right?
That's circulating in state court, yes, Your Honor.
All right. Which proceeding, the criminal one or that one, is it when the zero tolerance policy becomes apparent to you, which is the subject of this case?
That's the history. We take the, and I'm getting to your question. We take the default judgment June 26th of 2009, right? We also get the order setting aside the default judgment. That is July of 2009. Now, what's going on is that when I filed my lawsuit in November of 2008, what happened, and I'm trying to get to your question, Judge, you have to realize that when I took a $160,000 default judgment against five police officers in state court, that hit the news. That went everywhere. How in the world does he get a $160,000 default judgment against five police officers? So when that happens, Your Honor, it hits the news. The district attorney's office investigates further, and they indict Todd Burke for hitting him 13 times, and then Torres for tasing Derek Newman. So these guys are indicted. So here's what's going on. You have two criminal pending cases against two police officers who were later convicted. The first trial against Todd Burke happens in Jefferson County in a mistrial. So they have to try the case in San Antonio, and I think as a response to my their motion to dismiss, I included portions of that transcript, and that's in September of 2009, okay? So you have a criminal trial against Todd Burke in San Antonio. He's convicted.
Was your civil action stayed as a result of the criminal trial?
No, it was not. And no, it was
so
not.
Your default judgment was set aside in the summer of 2009?
Right. The default judgment was set aside on July, and I have copies for you.
Did you propound discovery on the defendants once the default judgment was set aside?
Yes, I did. And that's why I wanted to address specifically what Judge Clark said. What Judge Clark in his order specifically...
And I'm asking you, and I want to make
yes,
sure...
Yes, I did.
And I guess I want to fast forward a bit, so I want to make sure we agree on what the law is. As regards to when your cause of action occurred or accrued, because that's why we're here.
Yes, Your Honor.
Your claim was dismissed based on a determination that it was outside the statute of limitations when you brought it, the 1983 claim.
That is correct.
And so you agree that the applicable law is, as regards when your cause of action occurred or accrued, it's when your client either knew or should have known.
That is correct.
Of his injury.
Specifically that he should have known as it relates to the policy of the Beaumont Police Department, the zero tolerance policy, that did not come out until the criminal cases. Your Honor,
Counsel, are you saying that let's take a case where you
yes,
have an
Honor.
Automobile accident.
Yes, Your Honor.
Somebody runs into your client.
Uh-huh.
And they're inebriated.
They're what now? Inebriated. Drunk. Okay.
Inebriated.
Yes, Your Honor.
File a lawsuit for them. For negligence. You find out 3 or 4 years later, because you haven't investigated or found out, and no one's kept you from doing it,
mm-hmm.
that night he'd been to some bar and they kept on serving him long after he was drunk.
Yes, Your Honor.
And you say, well, my goodness, nobody ever told me that he was in that bar. I can file a lawsuit under some kind of Dram Shop Act law
mm-hmm.
against those people that served him while it was drunk, and I didn't know, so therefore, even though I know the accident happened, even though I know who was involved in the accident, in this case, the employees of the people that you now want to sue, and all of a sudden, I don't have an accrual, or the statute of limitations hadn't run because I don't find out until later
well
that he's been drinking at this place.
I think with your example, Your Honor, here's what I see it, Your Honor. If I have someone who goes kill somebody in a car wreck and they're drunk, there should be some connection between, well, he's drunk, he killed somebody, who served him the liquor?
Don't you think there's some connection and shouldn't there be some connection between who arrested me and why they arrested me?
And
why they arrested me, it seems like if you got arrested and you know you're arrested and you know who you got arrested by, you're under some kind of duty to find out the circumstances of that. You know what happened to you. Why shouldn't you find out why it happened to you?
And that's exactly what we did in this particular case.
How did you do that?
Right. When Derek Newman was arrested, well, first, Your Honor, you got to put in perspective, in 2007, I'm not his lawyer. He has a criminal lawyer.
Well,
I'm
forget not, about who the duty is on him,
right.
The individual, not the lawyer.
Here's what he does. When he gets arrested and the charges against him are later dismissed in criminal court because basically when you look at the video, he didn't do anything wrong, what does Derek Newman, who's a citizen at this point, what before I even get involved, do? He files an internal affairs complaint against these officers with the city of Beaumont. The city of Beaumont's chief of police disciplines one of the officers. The officer turns around and asks for arbitration, and the arbitrator overthrows the disciplinary decision. So Derek Newman is actively involved in investigating at this particular point. Now, when I get on the case, I noticed in their brief, here's one of the things that they said. They said that, hey, Mr. Adams from 2008 to 2011 sent us like 37 open records requests. Well, it's interesting when you look at an open records request under Texas law, because I can send an open records request to the city of Beaumont, but they can object, and I can't think of a time when they didn't, because what they can say is that if there's pending litigation, then we don't have to give this information up. The next thing, Your Honor, that goes to your point is Judge Clark.
Well, in that connection, is it your understanding that this zero tolerance policy is an unwritten policy?
It's an absolute unwritten policy.
An open records request would not have
provided you with
in your
information.
Discovery of that policy.
I wouldn't even know to ask about it. And I think ultimately the fear, Your Honor, we have here is that what will happen is cities will now be encouraged, Your Honor, to have these unwritten policies that you can't find out anything about. Have these unwritten policies where we designate minority areas as high crime and then subject those citizens to not having the protections under the Constitution. Your Honor,
All right, you've got a red light, Mr. Adams. You saved 5 minutes for rebuttal. We'll hear from... from
Thank you, Your Honor.
Counsel opposite, and you have a chance to come back up on rebuttal.
Thank right. you, Your Honor.
All right.
Your Honor, can I give it to the clerk? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
You got a chance to come back.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. All right. Mr. Price.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Quentin Price, and I represent the city of Beaumont. Just for clarification in regards to the parties to this case, originally Mr. Adams and Mr. Newman had actually sued the chief of police and the city manager in their individual capacity and in their official capacity. On his second amended complaint filed before the judge dismissed the claim on the statute of limitations, they eliminated the individual claims against Chief Coffin and the city manager, Kyle Hayes, so that the only party that's here today is the city of Beaumont.
And we've got a final judgment then. Or did he do a 54?
Mr. Adams filed a 54 right. motion. Okay. We have a final judgment right. completely dismissed. Let me just touch briefly on this hidden policy of the CompStat. That information, the criminal statistics, are published in the Beaumont Enterprise every weekend. They show a little map of the city, and you can click on those little buttons, and it will show you what crime was committed. And basically what the police department has done over the years is they look at specific locations to find where there's crime occurring. If you have streetwalker prostitution occurring over here in this particular neighborhood, you have drug dealing over here, you have theft and robberies occurring in this neighborhood, then the police department tells their officers to go, look, you need to go by this evening during your patrol and check those specific areas, and this is what we're looking for that is occurring.
Well, his claim is not that he couldn't determine what a high crime area was. His claim is that he was not aware until it was revealed during the course of that criminal trial, he was not aware that there was a zero tolerance policy in these high crime areas. Isn't that the upshot of his claim?
Well, truthfully, Your Honor, I'm really looking at his claim on zero tolerance. He hasn't connected how the zero tolerance policy, in fact, violated any constitutional right.
Okay, well, then let's step back for 1 second. So
you're
conceding, you're admitting that there is this zero tolerance policy in high crime areas.
They have some stepped up policies relative to law enforcement when you have high crime areas.
Stepped up policy.
Yes. I mean,
what do they call it at the meetings when the officers are talking about it in these high crime areas?
They call it CompStat, I think is what they have. They have a CompStat meeting, and I'm not even sure that the officers that were doing the arrest, that the CompStat information gets down that far. It's the chief. The captains, then the lieutenants. They have their weekly meetings to discuss, you know, where the criminal activity is occurring in the city, and based upon those CompStat information.
Well, here's my concern. If the inclination is to find that this is something that he should have discovered
right.
in the course of his bringing claims against these officers who are employees of the department, this is something he should have discovered. I guess my concern in that connection would be, What question would he have propounded that would have elicited the response, we have a zero tolerance policy? And if what you're telling me is, well, there is one, we don't really call it that, there's a stepped up policy, I guess if I'm inclined to find that he should have asked about it, I am equally concerned about how he would have discovered it. What question would he have propounded that would have elicited the response, we have a, what do you call it, stepped up?
Right, policy? Stepped up or CompStat or zero tolerance. He simply, in the deposition of the chief of police, chief, does the city of Beaumont Police Department adjust its law enforcement based upon high crime areas? That's the simple question right there. Is there any difference between a high crime area in the city of Beaumont and a crime that has area of the city that has much lower crime?
And what's that difference?
What's the difference? More patrols, specific observation for criminal, what appears to be criminal type behavior, young women walking in scantily clad clothing along the street. Might seem to indicate someone's engaging.
Asked, he could have even asked at a deposition the people that he was suing, or deposition in aid, why did you, in a deposition, why did you arrest me? What did I do? What other reason, if any, did you have for arresting me? Was anything hidden from him?
Nothing that I'm aware of, Your Honor. Everything that he asked, and again, he implies today that the open records request, we objected. We didn't object. We were working with Mr. Newman all the way through this process to ensure that Officer Burke was disciplined for what the chief of police found to be excessive force. We not only were we adverse to Mr. Newman, he was a witness called by the city, all of that.
Which one of these proceedings are you saying, these questions should have been asked? Because he's got a client, although he didn't represent him, but the original criminal charges levied against him were dismissed, so he's not in an predecessor or his client's not in an adversary situation because the charges have been dismissed. Then he tells us about this, administrative procedure, the grievance and all that, which doesn't seem that he's a party to that.
That's the one, Your Honor.
Is it? That's when you're saying
the arbitration.
The arbitration.
Right.
That's when you're saying he should have discovered the existence of the zero tolerance policy.
Your Honor, whether or not he ever even actually discovered the zero tolerance policy, the courts that have actually sat down and looked at a zero tolerance policy have found that it doesn't violate Constitution. I think there's way too much emphasis being placed on the zero tolerance policy when there is no link between how a zero tolerance policy for criminal activity and the enforcement of the laws leads to the conclusion that you're going to be beaten with a baton, you're going to be tased.
He says that his client got the dickens beat out of him for not having committed any offense, and he was focused on because of the zero tolerance, not because he actually committed a crime. His charges were later dismissed, so, that informed, but for the zero tolerance, I would have never been stopped, I would have never been beat. I don't have a hard time seeing the connection myself. Between that, but that's beside the point in terms of whether he should have known it. But, if his client had been convicted of something, that might have been different. But, that's what he's urging. The problem is it didn't appear like the city was backing away from claiming that there was a zero tolerance policy, although it seems that you are, but you're using it interchangeably. But the question we have is timing. Judge Clark dismissed and said it was beyond the statute of limitation. So what we're trying to zero in on with you and with counsel opposite is the triggering moment. When is it you say, or he says, he, meaning Mr. Newman, not necessarily the counsel here, should have known about this policy? If it was unwritten, then I don't understand how open records happens that. So just tell me one more time, without us debating the policy, when it would have been that he knew or should have known about it for whatever benefit it had or wouldn't have had. As far as his lawsuit, you say it's the arbitration process?
No, Your Honor. I say it's August 24th, 2007, the date of the incident in question. And here's why. As I indicated earlier, this is publicly published information in the Beaumont Enterprise.
Well, that's just crime stats.
But that's provided by the Beaumont Police Department to the Beaumont Enterprise.
That's the newspaper?
That's the newspaper. I'm sorry. Yes, Your Honor. I thought everyone knew what the Beaumont Enterprise was. I apologize.
I don't read it on a daily basis. I can guarantee you.
I do.
There you go. So the locally published newspaper, Your Honor, that and it goes back to this the basic concept that if you have high crime areas, the idea that the police department would adjust its policing enforcement, which is whether you call it CompStat, zero tolerance policy, for the high crime areas, is almost goes without saying. You're going to send more police officers. You're going to look for specific crimes. But here's kind of the whole start of this.
Increased patrol. And I really don't want to get into a debate about the policy because we're talking about two different things. You won below because the judge determined that the claim was brought out of time.
Correct.
Barred by the statute of limitations. You didn't win because the judge determined that there was no connection between the policy and the event. And so, because that's an argument that the policy is irrelevant. And you may want to retreat to that argument if it doesn't look like you're winning on the out of time argument. But you won because the judge determined that it was out of time. And I guess I'm just... What you're saying is you have stepped up patrols and all of those things. That doesn't equal to zero tolerance policy, which is what he's talking about here, does it?
No.
I mean, because your argument is he should have known that patrols would be stepped up in a high crime area.
Let's look at what he actually did know in regards to his constitutional and protected rights to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures, to be free from imposition of cruel and unusual punishment, to be free from...
Excessive force.
If you look at the night of the incident, this is what Mr. Newman knew. He knew that he was hit with a baton 13 times by a Beaumont police officer. He knew that he was tased, in his mind, unjustifiably so, by a Beaumont police officer. He knew that he was dragged across the roadway, which caused his shorts that he was wearing, to pull down below where they should have been. He knew that the night of the occurrence. He knew that he was held down on the ground by a police officer with his boot in his back. Those are all the situations that he knew the night. Again, stepping away from the zero tolerance policy for the reason that it really is quite a red herring, he has also brought claims for failure to train, failure to supervise. And while failure to train is not in and of itself a constitutional violation, it is an indicative of other constitutional violations. He had information that would lead a reasonably prudent person to investigate a failure to train claim. A failure to discipline claim. He has brought those claims. You can't set the zero tolerance policy off over here by itself and say, oh, he just discovered that in 2010. Look at his other claims. When one of the claims accrued on the date of the incident in question, all of his claims accrued. It is incumbent upon him then to do the investigation. I submit to the court that when his excessive force claim, when his failure to train claim, when his failure to discipline claims all accrued on August of 2007, which that accrued his cause of action. Even saying he never found out about, you know, the zero tolerance policy. So that's why I've been, and again, I'm not.
Are those potential claims or claims that he actually brought?
Those are in his second amended complaint. Those are in his live pleadings at the time that Judge Clark...
He had all these things about the city being responsible, but didn't include this other one, this other theory.
Correct, Your Honor. And if you actually look at the what he has alleged in his complaint, and this is what the court has to go by, is what is alleged, he says that on multiple occasions, Beaumont Police Department engaged in unconstitutional search and seizure. On multiple occasions, the Beaumont Police Department engaged in unconstitutional use of excessive force. The allegations, if taken as true in his complaint, is that this is common knowledge that the Beaumont Police Department engages in these activities. If it's common knowledge, then he was aware of this information back on the date that it occurred. And again, the like...
Are those allegations in his original complaint?
Actually, to answer your question, in his original complaint against the city, yes. When he brought the city in January...
When was that one filed?
January 2010. Yeah, in his original complaint against the city, those allegations. What's interesting is the zero tolerance policy is not in his original complaint against the city. That only comes along on the Second Amendment complaint. His original complaint against the city in January of 2010 are failure to train, failure to discipline, excessive force by its police officers. I apologize. I've gotten off my... off track from where I was.
Your argument is that the core knowledge or information he needed was known at the time of the offense itself.
Yes, Your Honor. In regards to... Like I said, well, on all of them, even the comp stat, the zero tolerance policy, that information is set out in the newspaper. The failure to train. Tell me
what the zero tolerance policy says.
Basically, as I described to it, as I understand, Your Honor, as I described the captains, lieutenants in the police department see that there is occurring crime and it's not even in an area of the city. It's like between the 800 block and the 1,000 block of MLK or Dowling. They're seeing particular crimes occurring in those specific locations. May even be down as far as a house. We're seeing some. Cars come by a particular address at all hours of the day and night. As a police officer on the beat, you need to drive by this house and see what's going on there. I mean, it's basically nothing more than a stepped up patrol, stepped up observation. Today is the first time that
is there. Your description of it is a little different than I got from the briefs. I had the feeling that the zero tolerance mean that he had to arrest them in this case. Are you saying that zero tolerance means just stepped up surveillance?
The initial part of it is stepped up surveillance, stepped up enforcement, stepped up patrol. Now then, in regards to the zero tolerance policy, I believe if they observe criminal behavior in their view, they then at that time, if it's a traffic violation, they write the traffic ticket. If it's a, they see suspicious activity, they investigate it at that point in time. Whereas, it may be that if you're at a different location, that they would not necessarily focus on. But it certainly is not. It is not the policy, the practice, or it seems to be in this case that it's become this overriding operational mandate of the Beaumont Police Department. It is not that. If you ask the BPD officers, the Beaumont Police Department officers, they're not so sure what you're talking about. It's the lieutenants and the captains, maybe down as far as the sergeants, but the actual officers doing the patrols at night, all they know is they're told to pay attention to the
There's
to the
some
behavior.
Activity out on the block of this and black life,
Mm-hmm.
Let's check it out. Send more people out there. Be a little more careful out there. Enforce a little bit harder out there.
Right.
We're trying to shut it down.
If you look back at the original, and this is in Mr. Newman's most recent complaint, if you look in his complaint, he does not allege that the driver of the vehicle that he was in did not violate the law. He doesn't say that he didn't fail to yield the right-of-way to oncoming traffic. It's not as if this is a pretense stop. They were appropriately stopped for a traffic violation. And even if it were, under the zero tolerance policy, there's still no connection between and as you aptly pointed out, Judge, we had many different grounds that Judge Clark could have considered for the motion to dismiss. not just the statute of limitations, but it was the clearest one, I believe, as for the court to address. But anyway, but they've not challenged that the stop was a legal stop for observed criminal behavior. Now, what all occurred afterwards, I mean, it's a long, you know, deal that's gone on. There's been disciplinary actions taken against the police officers. Two of them have been convicted. You know, one of them has been terminated. The other one's conviction was reversed, was reinstated. There's been a whole deal that's come out of this particular deal. But the question is whether or not the city was appropriately sued. And in
is this the remaining piece of all the proceedings that the city is involved?
Well, the city is providing a defense to the police officers. According to Texas law, we're required to provide them with a lawyer.
So that's still going on in?
That's coming up to you next.
Oh, that, okay. That's
yeah. Judge Clark dismissed the three officers that were, I'll call them the observing officers, the ones that were standing by taking care of other things. The two main officers were Officer Burke and Officer Guidry. Burke was the one with the baton. Guidry had the taser. And as Mr. Adams aptly pointed out, it's all on video. You can probably get it on YouTube. But anyway, so that's all, which, and again, that video was produced to them. So anyway, so the city is not involved in the criminal matters. Like I said, Officer Burke's conviction for official oppression has been affirmed on appeal. Officer Guidry was convicted of official oppression, but the trial judge reversed it, and that's on appeal. But like I said, from the civil matter, the three officers have been, three of them were dismissed, and the other two are coming up on official immunity. Again, we had asked that you affirm the trial judge's granting of the 12B6 motion.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate your argument, your brief. Mr. Adams, you have 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Your Honor, I thank you for your time, and I'm making the best argument I can. And I'm coming to you as think about it for a second, Your Honor.
Let me ask you this. In your original complaint, did you bring any claims regarding the use of excessive force?
In the original complaint filed in state court?
Your original complaint against the officers.
The original complaint against the officers in state court was all state court claims. There was no claim under 1983.
No. That's different. I'm not asking whether or not you brought a 1983 claim. I know you didn't do that until 2010.
Correct.
But as I understand it, you filed a complaint in 2009?
That would have been 2008 November of 2008. So just to give you the time frame, he gets arrested in 2007. In November of 2008, I file my complaint. We take the default judgment in June of 2009, and then obviously the statute would have run in August of 2009.
When did you get the default judgment set aside?
I got the default judgment set aside, and I have copies for you.
That was in 2009, right?
Yes, the default judgment, they got set aside, and that was July 17th of 2009. So when the default judgment gets set aside in July of 2009, the statute of limitations would run the next month in August.
Okay, now
so when
he says, I couldn't do depositions. In the complaint that you got the default judgment on, was there any claim of the use of excessive force in that complaint?
Well, it was assault, and yes, I guess you would say yes, the assault would be excessive force by hitting him, because I sued these guys for assault, and I also sued those guys for aiding and abetting. So under the state court claim of assault, yes, that is excessive force, and they were sued for that in state court. But, Your Honor, I think the most poignant thing that I can bring to your attention is this, because I know my time is running out. I ask you, I beg you, please, to read in its entirety my response to their motion to dismiss. Because in my response to their motion to dismiss, on December the 10th of 2010, the state made closing arguments in this case. And I maintain, Your Honor, let's think this through for a second. Who should know better than anybody in this courtroom? Who should know better the policies and practices of the Beaumont Police Department? Who should know better? The Jefferson County District Attorney's Office. They're going to have thousands of cases with these officers. These officers are going to come in their courtroom on thousands of times. Who should know better their policies and practices? The DA. Well, in this particular case, Your Honor.
Why should they think that 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 policy led to the beating of your client. Place a burden on them to tell you that they think that but for their policy, that your guy wouldn't have got beat up. Why shouldn't it be your burden? Why isn't it the burden of the person who's bringing the claim, who knows he got beat up, to find out why he got beat up and what are the circumstances?
I think that
if no one is deceiving him, if no one is making any, but you don't claim that.
I think Pat Conoth, in his closing argument, answers your question, Judge. Because our Jefferson County District Attorney's Office, and it's a part of the record, and I quote him, unquote, Pat Conoth, the District Attorney, said, we had Chris Schultz, he testified, he said, the Comstead areas have zero tolerance area. South Park, people in the South Park are treated differently than the West End. What zero tolerance mean? Well, you're going to get arrested for every offense. Your passengers are going to get searched. Just when you think we're getting past this, you have a DA who's basically telling the jury, I thought that in this time in history, we had gotten past this kind of conduct. Then you have the DA to continue to say, do you mean to tell me that the Beaumont Police Department treats people, the law-abiding people? We're talking about traffic tickets. We're talking about Michael Tarver. Remember Michael, the guy that got arrested for loud music that saw and gave his opinion about what that guy did? You're going to jail. The Beaumont Police Department actually has a policy to treat law-abiding citizens of South Park differently than other people in the community. That's coming from the Jefferson County District Attorney's Office. Then on top of that, well, IAD is the Internal Affairs of the Police Department, is not going to enforce anything that amounts to official oppression in Jefferson County, Beaumont, Jefferson County, Texas. Jury, that is up to you. That is the closing argument of our Jefferson County District Attorney's Office, that IAD, Internal Affairs in Beaumont, is not going to do anything about this kind of conduct. And now, jury, it is up to you. And the jury, the jury found him guilty.
Light. Huh? You have a red light.
Oh, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Sorry, you're passionate on behalf of your client. We would think less of you if you weren't. You've done well.
Thank you, Your Honor.
First one you have under your belt, so you know, hereafter, you're good to go. We thank both sides for
Judge.
For your briefing and your argument. The case will be under